Welcome to Season 2 of Level With Us, where we'll be taking even deeper dives into the root causes and the intersecting issues of Central Ohio's housing crisis. Whether you're a first-time listener or a follower of the pod, thank you for lending your ears to an effort that is desperate for more attention, more voices, and more action. Everyone is affected by our housing shortage, whether you're a homeowner, a renter, a landlord, or someone experiencing homelessness or housing instability. And all of us have a role to play in fixing it. So here in Season 2, I'm bringing on more experts, community organizers, and leaders that I hope inspire more of you to find out what that role is. Today on Level With Us, I'm joined by Twyla Wellmaker, Outreach and Youth System Manager at the Community Shelter Board, and Steve Skivensky, their Chief Program Effectiveness Officer. Together, they were able to give me a broad view of our unhoused and unsheltered, who they are, the factors contributing to their homelessness, and what can be done by the city and by us as individuals to help those experiencing homelessness. The Shelter Board is a collective impact organization providing funding and support to 16 partner organizations. These partners are on the ground with resources and programming, while the Shelter Board leads the coordinated effort to prevent and, hopefully, end homelessness. Twyla gave me incredible insight into the youth in our community who are experiencing homelessness, and we'll explore that more deeply in our February episode. Twyla oversees the Shelter Board's Youth Homeless System Partners and works with outreach community partners. As the Shelter Board's Chief Program Effectiveness Officer, Steve works with the Program Effectiveness Team, helping to ensure their programs are running as they should and having as much success as possible in preventing people from entering homelessness or getting those who are unhoused into housing. Right now, the Shelter Board is gathering volunteers for their annual point-in-time count, when volunteers go out and try to get an accurate count of the people in our community who are unhoused or unsheltered. Unsheltered meaning living in a space not meant for human habitation, like an encampment, a garage, in a park, etc. The unsheltered count adds to those who are in shelter and those in transitional housing, and that total goes to HUD, the Department of Housing and Urban Development, which contributes to our nationwide count.
Throughout the day, we're pretty much at different magnet sites where unsheltered people are known to come into in and out throughout the day. We also provide some incentives for them on that day as a way of saying thank you for participating in the surveys. We have food trucks at some of the sites, and basically the surveys are to assist us in getting the information on identifying who's homeless within our community, what their needs are, and kind of what the trends are so that we can kind of look at how to get more funding to help support the people that are experiencing homelessness in our community.
What previous surveys have told us is that homelessness is on the rise. We've seen in the last 2 years about a 24% increase in homelessness in the community, and 2 years ago we had a 46% increase in unsheltered homelessness.
So we've seen more and more people living outside. The landscape has changed so much with the lack of affordable housing, with so many more demands and strains on housing, and people are experiencing homelessness at a much greater rate. So we're seeing those numbers increase, and we just completed an 18-month or so study with a consulting firm in California looking at our homeless system, the external factors, and we are projecting about a 68% increase in unsheltered homelessness in the next 3 years without further investments in rapid rehousing, permanent supportive housing, and diversion and prevention.
During our conversation, I asked if it was common for people to cycle in and out of homelessness, if their typical client was someone they'd seen before.
In some of our more recent data, the far majority of folks coming into homelessness are first time. And I think what's really important to note about that, we're seeing an increase in people with income and people working coming into shelter. So that's also a reflection of the difficult housing environment, that even people with resources can't secure housing right now.
Our housing market is tough for everyone right now. Finding a home near your place of work, in your price range, near key necessities like grocery stores and healthcare, is increasingly becoming a luxury. More often, people are settling for just what they can afford. When housing supply doesn't keep up with population growth, that means those buyers and renters are occupying lower-priced housing than they may opt for if there were more options out there, pushing those who would be in that lower price range into substandard housing or out of housing entirely. The worse the crisis gets, the more people will see entering homelessness. And while the pressure is felt by everyone, just like most other systemic issues, there are certain populations feeling the strain more than anyone.
I think education is so important, and one of the things that community, everyone needs to know, is we have a community crisis. Of course, of homelessness, but of the disproportionate impact on people of color. We right now, you know, we see a much higher prevalence of people of color in emergency shelter, but even focusing on the family system, we see families, single black mom, head of household, upwards of 75% of all families in shelter are single black or multiracial moms. We see 94% of families, female head of household. Along the same line, two summers ago, I saw the statistic that the Franklin County jail inmate population was 92% male. At the same time, in the family shelter, we saw 92% female head of household. So there's a community crisis of who's being impacted by homelessness, who's being impacted by all the, you know, the systemic racism.
This is the end point of institutional racism.
It really is, you know, and so we've got to call that out. The community needs to see who is being impacted by the evictions, the incarceration, the lack of opportunity.
So here's where my housing advocates and my racial justice advocates can hopefully come together, right? All these issues intersect and layer on top of each other. And that's part of what I'm hoping to explore here in season 2 of Level With Us. Homelessness and our housing crisis, that's an obvious link. But in future episodes, I'm seeking to show how health and housing intersect, how housing affects our aging population, how it relates to environmental justice and racial justice, and how it can determine educational and workforce outcomes for our youth. Housing is foundational. It's the basis upon which we build the rest of our lives. It's a sense of stability from which we can address things like treating an addiction or seeking employment. And it's the epicenter of all the other social determinants that make up our quality of life. Right now, we're at a kind of uncertain time when it comes to funding and support for housing initiatives. We heard what Steve said. If things remain the same, we're looking at a 68% increase in homelessness. But all forecasts are predicting a decrease in funding, especially as American Rescue Plan dollars finally expire.
The city provided a large amount of funding last year that was, you know, those ARPA funds. So part of the conversation right now is that sustainable funding that's needed, since those funds will be going away. With the ERA dollars that go towards emergency rental assistance, those will go away also next year. And we've built a really strong prevention system around some of those resources that have been present since COVID, really. Our largest funding source for our community is through housing and urban development. So HUD provides the most funds for housing, for some very specific rapid rehousing programs, for our youth programs, and we're entering into a new space where we've added a lot of services for survivors of domestic violence. So we are concerned that at the federal level, those funds could change. And I think it speaks to the need and our strategy of trying to get more state funding. So, we're preparing for all kinds of resource changes in the community. But I think those changes, coupled with the challenging housing environment, are really, you know, where we're very concerned about what we're going to see in terms of, you know, increases in housing instability and homelessness.
The Shelter Board is turning to local partners to bridge that gap in funding. Shannon T.L. Isom, their president and CEO, recently spoke at a county commissioner administrative hearing to plead the case for more funding to not just keep things going, but expand operations.
So we're asking for, both the funding that's needed right now to make sure, you know, the system has all that it needs, the shelter partners have everything they need, and then we are also asking for some additional funds recommended from this community assessment.
The Shelter Board is looking to increase pay for the frontline workers of the homelessness response system. They want to restructure their data reporting to integrate more qualitative data, lived experiences, and perspectives from those enrolled in the programs and accessing the services, and they're hoping to gather metrics that demonstrate disparities and inequities in the system in order to develop strategies to make it more equitable. Over the next 5 years, their plan aims to decrease total homelessness by 39%, including an 80% decrease in unsheltered adults and a 44% decrease in sheltered families. To accomplish it all, they're seeking about $159 million, $137 of which would be in one-time development capital costs, and $21 toward new annual operating resources beyond what they're currently doing.
We're really seeking sustainable funding, where right now one of the things the assessment noted was we don't have a stable model where each year we have to come back and kind of ask for funding again. And I think everyone's recognizing that this is a critical point in the city's history where we're seeing unsheltered homelessness increase, but we can kind of make the investments to try to pull that back.
Part of pulling it back means preventing it in the first place.
We talk about trying to get further and further upstream to prevent homelessness, and that's something we've focused a lot in the last few years. We did a pilot called the Homelessness Prevention Network to really focus on, you know, reducing families and pregnant moms who are at risk of homelessness. And all of our prevention work has been among the top successful programs particularly since COVID, because we've seen once someone falls into homelessness, very hard to get out and into stable housing. But if we can keep people safe where they are, so the prevention efforts for expectant moms, for families, for veterans, those have been the strongest programs, you know, and we're seeing, you know, some more success now from our housing partners. But again, it's the most challenging aspect of the work right now. So I just wanted to make a specific call to that upstream effort. You know, we have a great partnership with the city where they're funding 27 full-time positions to do housing problem solving and kind of housing support to prevent that homelessness. So that's a big effort, and we want to expand it more into youth prevention. And the more we can increase funds for prevention and diversion, I think the stronger our community and system will be.
The key to prevention is understanding the causes, right?
So there's a book and research that came out called Homelessness is a Housing Problem. We know it's a structural problem that needs very specific structural solutions. So the two driving factors of homelessness are increased rents and lowering vacancy rates. And Columbus is near the top in the country for both of these. Our rents are higher than the national average, and our vacancy rates are lower than the national average. The market forces are really changing, and so we are high in those two predictive factors that can only mean an increase in homelessness. So that's what Portland, LA, New York, Seattle, that's what they're experiencing. And what we have been talking about is our community is at a point where we can pull back, but if it goes much further and unsheltered homelessness continues, we won't be able to come back. This, look at the cities that are in that position now. They can't get away from that unsheltered homelessness. So poverty isn't one of the driving factors. Like Detroit, Toledo, Cleveland have you know, higher poverty rates but lower homelessness. So it's those two factors that are really driving homelessness.
While organizations like Shelter Board and Home Port are working upstream to prevent homelessness, downstream, there's some other stuff going on. Last year, the city of Newark passed a law making it a crime to camp on public property, framing it as a public safety issue.
You know, when we think about folks experiencing homelessness, particularly people living outside, they're more likely to be the victims of crime than the perpetrators. Locally, we don't have those concerns, thankfully. We've got good conversations and support from the city and the county, but we're concerned about the surrounding areas and other parts of Ohio. We have to get to the systemic root causes of homelessness, and criminalization, enforcement is never going to reduce homelessness. It's going to further, you know, every time someone has a ticket, a warrant, a punitive measure, that makes it harder for them to get into housing.
The issue is clear and present, and it's growing, affecting people from all walks of life. Last year, a third of the families entering shelter were doing so while earning an income. A quarter of everyone coming into emergency shelter last year had income. Our seniors, who spent their lives working and contributing and deserve to age with dignity, are becoming a greater portion of our homeless population. 14% of all men and 11% of all women in shelter last year were 62 years old or older.
You know, and in doing this work for many years, I mean, we've seen doctors and in emergency shelter. We've seen computer engineers. We've seen, you know, it really impacts everyone. And it's a changing landscape. I was actually just thinking, you know, if you go into a room and you ask, raise your hand if you know someone that has experienced an overdose or lost someone due to the opiate crisis. Virtually everyone can raise their hand, and I think we're moving in that direction. Raise your hand if you know someone that's experiencing homelessness.
I often say on this show that housing is the foundation, which other than a fun play on words, means it's the basis on which we build the rest of our lives. Housing advocates put this in practice. Before you address anything else, whether that's an addiction, finding employment, or seeking mental health treatment, you need a stable environment first. As our leaders work to address our multitude of social ills, perhaps housing is a starting point at which we can all convene.
The root causes and the interconnectedness of housing reduces infant mortality. It increases birth outcomes. It increases, you know, kindergarten readiness. It increases your physical health. So every organization providing a different service in the community is focused on the same goal, stability and successful, you know, outcomes for whatever that, you know, mission is. So I think that larger piece is connecting this all together and showing that definitively, you know, those social determinants are going to guide the work moving forward, right? So whether, you know, it's housing stability, hunger, education, healthy births, all of that work, we're all focusing on the same goal. And I think ultimately that's the conversation we all want to have. You know, you'll hear many people say, like, oh, we're, what's the cliche, we're resource rich and system poor. So I think we want to take it in that direction where all of those social determinants are all working towards the same goal. And we've got it all set up. We've got the partners, we've got the systems, and we want to bring that leadership into, you know, housing as, you know, the platform for just about everything. And knowing we're in the, you know, home port, I mean, we're speaking your language.
I want to thank Twyla and Steve for joining me for the first episode of 2025. We'll be back with Twyla and get more information on the factors and solutions to youth homelessness. If you want to volunteer for that point in time count this month, I'm going to be posting registration information in the show notes. If you're looking for more ways to get involved in your community, Homeport has a variety of opportunities coming up, and I'll add a link for that as well. Until next time, take care. Level With Us is brought to you by Homeport and is recorded, mixed, and edited by Lauren Sega. All sources are in the show notes. Homeport creates strong communities by developing quality, affordable homes on a cornerstone of dignity, security, and opportunity. To learn more, or if you'd like to support our mission, visit us at homeportohio.org.